Good morning. In reflecting on the passage and in exploring a few commentaries for the message, they all seem to focus the message on you and on me, on us, the reader and the participant in the story. And all of us who are worried about perishing, as the one who's in need of calm. And that's probably what a study of this text says to everyone. I'm going to talk to you a little bit this morning, and I'm going to get a little bit personal. Is that okay? Just say, is it for me? You say yes.
Yes.
I want to get a little bit personal. I want to get a little bit personal to us individually, to us and our families, and to us as a church here at Southside. And, you know, there's some things that we need to hear, and especially some of us who may have, you know, claimed to be followers of Christ for a long time, we need to be encouraged as well. And when I, I want to show you just a picture of the Sea of Galilee. I was there, I was a part of a group there in 2000, the year 2000. Right before the Intifada started up. I want you to know I had nothing to do with starting it. There's the Sea of Galilee, and actually on a bigger map from up in the sky, here's the Dead Sea down here, and here's the Sea of Galilee right here. And so if we zoom in a bunch more, here it is here. And you'll see some of the communities and cities, some are still there. And it's actually an amazing place to visit because some of them are, they haven't really changed since the time of Christ. Wandered around that place, and it's quite an amazing experience to be there. Is there anybody here, have you ever been in a storm on the water? Ever been caught in a storm on the water? Yeah, I've been around a couple of those, and Chris and I, I'm going to share Chris' story, and I, a few years ago, we were up in northern British Columbia, up on Charlie Lake, and we were out in this aluminum boat, a small aluminum boat, had a little outboard motor on it. And we were out exploring on Charlie Lake, which is a big northern lake. And we were out there, been out for a couple of hours, and we decided we were going to turn and head back. And just as we started to turn the boat around and head back, a storm came just swooping down the lake. And so here we are at the end of the lake. We're out in the boat, and there's no place to go for shelter. We're out there, we're kind of in the middle, and the boat is kind of starting to slam away like this. We have to get across. The storm's coming down, it's slamming. Here's the two of us in the back of the boat. The boat is slamming away. And I said, honey, would you go up to the front of the boat, at least, you know, try to help with the slamming a bit. And Chris is not big, but she was brave, and I teased her a little bit about being like Kate Winslet on the front of the Titanic, but that's not totally right. But anyway, but she went up, and it helped a little bit. And to just let you know, we both survived. I know you're wondering, did we make it or not? We did. But I just remember, you know, desperate prayers being answered, and God in His grace, you know, answered those prayers on that day for us. But we're also a little bit wiser for the experience. You know, our storms in our lives, they can be sudden and they can be violent. Many of the disciples, you know, in that boat, and here's actually a life-size facsimile of a boat that probably Christ would have been, a very popular fishing boat of the day. And all the guys that were in the story, they were all fishermen. And when you're a fisherman on the Sea of Galilee, you know, you're a pretty smart guy. You're actually fairly wise. And I think, you know, if the storm was coming up at the time when Jesus suggested that they go over, you know, from here to the other side, I think that one of those guys probably would have said, you know, Jesus, I see a storm coming. Or, you know, Jesus, I feel the storm blowing in. Because a lot of times you feel the storm before you see it. You know what I mean? You know, they may have even said, you know, Jesus, we should just kind of wait this one out. Matthew says, tells us that the storm was sudden. Mark simply says it was a great storm. And I guess it was a sudden storm. But the reality is many of the storms in our lives, they're very, very sudden. Hearing the doctor say that you have cancer, it is a sudden storm. When a spouse is caught being unfaithful, that's a sudden storm. When you get the call and the boss says, sorry, your job is being terminated. That's a sudden storm. There's been a wreck. There's been an accident. Can you come to the hospital? We've had that call. A sudden storm. Friends, 80% of our lives, we go through, Mark, we just go through it. Paying taxes, driving to work, getting on that little moped scooter, paying bills, looking after the last kid, paying all those rents. The other 20% of the time, all hell breaks loose. It's a storm. It's a chaos out there. Jesus said, in this world you will have much what? Trouble. Then he also said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Someone say amen.
Amen.
The storms are sudden. We throw up a desperate prayer in the middle of the storm, don't we? We throw up that panic prayer. And it's like the cry of the guys in the boat. Teacher, don't you care that we're in a storm? Don't you care? Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care that I have cancer? Don't you care that I'm losing my job? Don't you care that my spouse is unfaithful? Don't you care? Don't you care? Don't you care? It's the cry of panic. But the truth of the matter is God is not surprised by our storm. I don't ever get a picture of God sitting there going, whoa, I never saw that coming. Oh, my knee. The younger people got that one. Us older people are stirring. I never saw it coming. God never panics. As a matter of fact, one commentator said this, we do ill to try to communicate our despair to God. Instead of rushing to communicate, listen to this carefully. Instead of rushing to communicate our panic to Him, we should allow Him to communicate His calm to us. Did you hear me? Instead of us communicating our panic to Him, we need to let Him communicate His calm to us. Peter, who was possibly in the boat, later on he says it well in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. He says, we need to be casting all of our anxiety onto Him because He cares for you. Sometimes you see people that have found the calm, you know, that peace that passes all understanding. So that, you know, whether the storm is calmed or whether the storm rages, they seem to have little or no anxiety. Do anybody know anybody like that? They're just pretty calm. They're just pretty. Michelle, you married anybody like that? You know? It's kind of calm. Doesn't really get too, you know? People like that are people that I think that the Apostle Paul is talking about in Philippians 4, verses 11 to 13. Where he says that he learned the secret of facing the storms. He said that no matter what, he can make it through with Christ. He says this, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. In this case, Jesus calmed the storm. If he hadn't calmed the storm, it wouldn't have been, now listen carefully, it wouldn't have been because he doesn't care. When Christ is with us, even when the worst storms of our lives batter against our ship, even when our boats sink, even when the cancer is fatal, we will not perish if we have Christ. We can never ask Christ if He cares if we're perishing. He's already absolutely shown us, that He doesn't want us to perish. And He's absolutely shown us that He cares. He says this, he says, look at my nail-scarred palms. Look at my nail-scarred feet. Look at my pierced side. Look at my body broken for you. Look at my blood shed for you. Look at my life given for you. He willingly died on a cross to keep us from perishing. We can't say that He doesn't care about us. He did all that's necessary to make sure that when our ship goes down, when our earthly lives end, we will not perish. Jesus said, "It is finished." The whole question of perishing is over and done with. Chris and I both lost our dads a number of years back. They passed away, but they didn't perish. Our families have peace because they both knew Jesus Christ as the Lord and as their Savior. They both accepted Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Chris's dad spent much of his life being kind of the hands and feet of Jesus to many people. My dad joined him later on after coming to faith in Christ. We only perish if we don't have Christ with us. And it's not that he doesn't want to be with us. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you." How many of you here are glad that he is patient with you? Why are your, some of your hands down? I am really glad he's patient with me. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He died for each one of us. He died in our place. The punishment that was due our dads, when their life ended, Jesus took upon himself. Had they died without him, they would have indeed perished. But it wouldn't have been because Jesus didn't care and didn't make a way of escape. So when you die, how many of you know you're going to die one day? I didn't want to sneak up on you that one. Natalie, by the way, awesome seeing you this morning. When I was your age, Natalie, I knew you were like, really? Oh, you're in the front row, I can't think of you. Dan, you're a young man. When I was your age, I used to have an S on my shirt. It like Super Dan. Another Super Dan over there. Like, I thought I was bulletproof. I didn't think I was ever going to die. Is there anybody like that? Dying, that's for everybody else. That's not for me. Well, the reality is we're all going to pass away. This body, and whenever I look in the mirror, I go, oh my goodness. But anyway, this body is going to perish. We're all going to perish. The question is, when we die, the decision that you and I made or didn't make about accepting and living our life for Christ will decide if we perish or not. That decision is in your hands. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after that, after this, the judgment." Friends, Jesus doesn't want us to perish. The story of Jesus calming the storm, you know, shows his power. And just as he rescued the disciples, he can rescue you and I. His rescue doesn't necessarily keep you from the storms of life, but his rescue does something even better. It keeps you from perishing eternally. And it changes the way you see the storms in your life. A few years ago, Chris's dad and I were out golfing. Golf's a four-letter word. With an F in it. And he was one of the most fun people to golf with. We're golfing in Prince George, and I love to golf with him because he tried really hard, but he never took the game too seriously. I love going with guys like that who don't take it too seriously. Go with people who take it too seriously, I am not a lot of fun. But we were out there, and I remember we were way on the back side of the golf course, and in Prince George, it's where the Nechaco River and the Fraser River meet. It's a couple of river valleys, and the weather there can be just kind of crazy. We were way out of the back side of the course, and all of a sudden this storm just blew right in. Have you ever been stuck in a downpour? You know what I'm saying? Where it's just absolutely pouring. You're just, like, just, boom, you're drenched. And it was really funny because we were on the back side, and we're looking out at the back of the golf course, and all these people were scurrying to their cars, you know, or they were scurrying for the clubhouse. And we were so far, gone. We were so far up there that we just hit some pine trees and kind of hunkered under the trees for a while and kind of waited out the storm. And I remember the storm broke, and over the horizon was this beautiful rainbow. I think it was one of the beautiful rainbows. Laura, it looks beautiful. It wasn't pointing to a house, but it was just kind of going over. And we just realized, here was this rainbow, a gift from God, peace in the middle of the storm. And it makes me think about people who, who always seem to be looking for the figurative rainbows in their day. You know those people. They always seem to see the best in other people. You know, they always seem the best in the situations. You know what I'm saying, Terry? The best side of life, the cheerful, the glass half full optimist, right? You kind of navigate around the storms. To be honest, sometimes these people get a little bit on my nerves, but it's a fun way to live life. And do you think that it comes naturally? I don't know. I think most of the time it's Jesus changing people's perspectives in the middle of the challenges and the storms. Colossians 1, verse 27 says, "To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Can you say that with me? Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's an amazing thought to hold on to in the storms. Friends, we're going to spend a couple of minutes just quietly in prayer. And if there's anyone here today who knows that you're going through life without Christ, you know that you've sinned, you know that you would perish if you were to die, then I don't want to let this moment of prayer, this moment of quiet, go by without giving an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. Maybe the Holy Spirit speaking to you this morning, or maybe the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you and working on you for some time. And you want to say yes to Christ. You want to invite him to come into your life as your Savior and as your Lord. Then I'd like to encourage you to pray aloud with us. I'll open a prayer up on the screen after a few minutes' time. Friends, when you know Jesus, your outlook changes. He may not change your storm, but Jesus changes you. He cares that we're perishing without him, and he's with us in the storm. Let's just find him where he is. Spend a few moments in prayer. Allow the Spirit of God to speak to us. Lord, I understand that I'm perishing because of you, and I need you to care. I believe that because of my sin, I deserve to perish and live apart from God. But because you love me, I also believe you died on the cross to pay for my sin, and you rose from the grave to defeat that coming for me. I accept that sacrifice on the cross as paying for my own sin. I don't want to perish, and I want to spend eternity with you when I leave this life. And Lord, help me change the way I live the life I have led us here on earth, living to please you. I ask this for your glory, in Christ's name. Amen. Remember a number of years ago being in Bible college, and when the professor was about done, he would, you'd hear all these papers shuffling around and books starting to move in the class. But don't put your stuff away just yet. These last few minutes are for those who've said yes to Christ, including those who may have said yes for the first time just now, or maybe you said it a long time ago. Once we decided to say yes to Jesus, we're no longer perishing. Everybody take a deep breath and let that. Isn't that a good feeling? I'm not perishing. I don't care what comes my way. I'm not perishing. Jim? We're not perishing. Here's the part that the Lord gave me just for Southside Church this morning, okay? So I'd like you to pay particular attention for the next couple of minutes before we close. And I think Laura's going to lead us in a couple of things after. When I see this scripture relating to the church, especially here at Southside, as well as the church overall, but especially to here to us, in the scripture, the disciples believed they were perishing. And matter of fact, in the Greek it says, we're going down, we're sinking, we're going to die. Has anybody here had a near-death experience? I've had about three of them. I thought I was done. Remember, actually, I drowned. I had to be resuscitated when I was 11 years old. Didn't go back to near water until I was around 30. And even then, I go along the edge of the pool. And I was the guy swimming down the side, holding the side of the pool. We're going to die. Friends, it's one thing to know that. And anyone who said yes to Jesus today or for a long time realizes that they were going down without him. Jesus was asleep in the boat, and I think he must have known that the storm was not going to overtake them. But I think just to calm the disciples, you know, he calmed the storm. But to me, the scripture is reminding us at Southside that there are people all around you that are perishing. There are people around your school. There are people around your workplace. There are people around your neighborhoods that are perishing. And we, the church, have been a little bit asleep. You know, we've put our heads on our comfy pillows and are just resting, dozing in and out a little bit. Hey, I'm good. I know I'm not perishing. It's good. It's good to see you. And now and again, we wake up, we look at the clock, we go back to sleep. We're asleep because we're living lives, and I'm talking a lot for myself, but maybe for some of us as well. I'm living for my life, focusing on my own needs. I'm focusing on my own comforts. I'm focusing on my wants, and maybe I'm entitled to them. I worked hard for them. I deserve them. But you know what? If those people around us knew what we knew, are you with me? If they knew what we knew about perishing, if they knew, would they be crying out to us, Tom, don't you care that we're perishing? Dan, don't you care that we're perishing? George, don't you care that we're perishing? I remember after high school, I spent a couple of years in the Army. And we're on a whitewater rafting training thing in the Okanagan. And our trainer would often warn us, you know, there's rocks in the water. If you can imagine, this is a rock in the water, and here's the water here like this. And there'd be these rocks in this. And he would warn us all of a sudden, we'd be going along, whatever, and he would say, oh, watch out, undercut. That rock's an undercut. And what it was this. Here's the rock. Here's the water. But instead of the rock going down, this was actually cut out like this on either side underneath the water. It had been a road and a road and a road. And if you bump your raft against that, it actually would draw you under the rock and suck you in and trap you. And the chances of getting out of it were slim to none. You'd probably drown, or for sure you'd be a wreck. And so we'd be navigating down the river, and now and again, we'd say, watch out, that rock's undercut. And we needed to, if he said that, you just needed to paddle like crazy to get away from that rock that was undercut. And he warned us. He was, you know, in the boat, paying attention to what we're doing, doing everything possible to ensure that we wouldn't perish. You know, Jesus knew the disciples would be okay, but you know what? I don't know it would be okay for my neighbors. And I don't know if it would be okay for my friends. The lost and the unreached people in the world around us will not be okay. They're perishing. Our friends in Albania. Our neighbors in Surrey and Burnaby and Willoughby are perishing. It will not be okay. They need and they must be told about Jesus. Romans 10:14, my last verse as I close. How can people have faith in the Lord and ask him to save them if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear unless someone tells them?
They must be told they're perishing. We must tell them. We must say, I care that you're perishing. Watch out. You'll certainly perish if you keep going this way. You don't have to perish. We know what keeps you from perishing. Better yet, we know who keeps you from perishing. It's Jesus Christ. And that's why we're still here, friends. We need to redeem the time. The reality is this. There are a lot of people around us who've never heard the name of Jesus. And they're not coming to our church. We have to go out and reach them. I want to invite you to pray a prayer with us. It's modified Craigan, a prayer that we pray regularly here at Southside. Would you pray with me as we close? Lord, we'll seek to love you with all of our hearts, practicing spiritual disciplines of engagement and consciousness, with all of our minds, growing in knowledge of you and your kingdom. Lord, we will seek to love you with all of our strength, generously stewarding our time, talent, treasure, and desire, by loving our neighbors with justice and compassion, practicing hospitality. Lord, we will seek to love you by proclaiming the kingdom of God, by loving one another, telling others about Jesus, and joining together in spiritual friendship, accountability, and love. God bless you.